We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your health and energy. And if this is your first time listening, we truly appreciate you being here and would love to have your support by subscribing to our channel. We also love hearing from you, so please connect with us and share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. If you're interested in learning more about biological medicine or trauma-informed movement, check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future. Welcome to another episode of Connecting with the Toms. I'm Julie, your trauma-informed movement coach.
I'm Dr. Tom, your biological specialist physician in Scottsdale, Arizona.
And we are here to help share some information about how you can take proactive steps to live optimally and live a healthier, better life. And today, our topic is all about autoimmune disease and why does your body turn against itself? So my dad was educating me a little bit as before we hit record on this. And I don't know if you know, but there are about 85 different autoimmune diseases. So we could be talking for hours and hours and hours, but we know your time is precious. So we're just going to focus on, we're going to touch some key points like, okay, why is your body turning against itself? Like, why do you feel your body is hurting you and not working the way you want it to? So, but what we want for you today is to be able to walk away with some key actionable things that you can do to start shifting the tides and shifting ways for you to start healing your body and feeling better in your body. So Dad, you want to get us started as to, well, it's kind of broad, like I just said, like there's a lot of different reasons, but how come people are now in this day and age are struggling? Why are more people struggling with autoimmune disease than ever before?
As you said, Julie, this topic is massive. This topic is multifactorial. This topic has many different avenues that you could pursue. So I think before we go there, let's just look at how the present community, the medical community, thinks about an autoimmune problem. So, and what most people, you know, if you tell somebody that they have an autoimmune disease, the immediate knee-jerk feeling is to think that somehow your immune system has gone awry. Your immune system is in a hyper response. So instead of being balanced in homeostasis, you basically are attacking yourself. So that's these 85 plus conditions that have been identified. No matter, almost there's no tissue in your body that is immune to being attacked. And so if we go back to the most basic aspect of what it is that we need to do, we need to look at why does the body do that? But before I say that, the conventional community looks at any autoimmune disease with one lens, and that lens is we have to stop the reaction, which means you use some form of a suppressive medication that tries to change the reaction so you don't get the symptom, but they will admit that it's not curable. The only thing we can do is try and slow it down. So whether you're talking about lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid autoimmunity, or Graves' disease, which is a hyper thyroid type problem, there's a medication that is specific. Now, the era of biologics, we see them advertised on television routinely now. If you have Crohn's disease, if you have ulcerative colitis, if you have multiple sclerosis, if you have rheumatoid arthritis, it doesn't sort of matter what the disease is. Here, ask your doctor about this. They're not telling you that they're going to cure it. They're telling you we're going to manage your symptoms so you have some quality of life. And that's obviously an important aspect. So that is not what we're going to talk about today, because that's only one piece of a very, very big puzzle. So I'm going to go back to the very basics. And I think those of you who have been regular listeners all along, and I don't remember, what are we at, number 35 or 36, whatever we're at somewhere of doing these podcasts, there you're going to start hearing that these intermingle, because that's how the body works. The body isn't a separate entity. And you know, you don't suddenly start to say, oh, well, you have this autoimmune problem now because something else doesn't work. We have to go back to our very basics, going back to literally the point again of preconception before you were even conceived, and look at how does the body decide self versus non-self. And in the case of autoimmunity, the self is being turned upon itself and being treated as non-self. So the first organ we have to look at is, or what is our liver? What the heck happened to our liver to say that suddenly this normal tissue, whether it's your joint or your kidney or your thyroid gland, is not part of you. It's abnormal. And so we are going to create antibodies against that particular organ, whichever it is, or tissue, and we're going to try and eliminate it. We're going to create inflammation in that particular tissue. And that inflammation, unfortunately, is what causes the symptom. And we all know that our symptoms are never our problem. They're just a sign that the body, meaning the brain, giving feedback to the different organs, is saying that something is out of balance. So it's not a hyper response of the immune system. It's an imbalanced response of the immune system. So, you know, we could have a whole webinar talking about the liver specifically, because it is well acknowledged that the liver has over 500 different functions by itself, which is why, among other things, it's an absolutely critical organ, and we can't live. It's incompatible to live without a healthy liver. So we look at, when we look at brain protocol, when we look at organ development, we look at, well, when does the liver reach some form of energetic maturation? Typically, we're saying, oh, 3-4 years of age. It seems that probably energetically, that's so. Now, if we bring in the whole concepts of trauma, we bring in the whole concepts of preconception, childhood, you know, and we start looking at, you know, before, in phase two of the brain protocol, before age 7, and say, so what was going on in those years? Was there something specifically that an individual may have been exposed to, be it a physical trauma or mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic trauma of some sort, that may have misaligned the normal maturation energetically of the liver, so that as we aged, specifically these antibodies, because of this misalignment, now start attacking a specific tissue? Of course, people always say it's genetic. There's a genetic piece of this. And yes, you may indeed. We go back to our terrain, the whole idea of constitution, miasm, and temperament. So what did you inherit from your parents? And so did you inherit a weakened link per se? So we look at some types of conditions. We look at Down's syndrome, for example, and say, oh, that's a genetic problem. We look at sickle cell disease. We say that's a genetic problem. So the genetics does play a role, but just because your mother or grandmother or your father had rheumatoid arthritis doesn't mean you're ultimately destined to have the same illness, because we know with epigenetics, and of course, all this we've talked about in previous podcasts, but that'll have to come up again. With epigenetics, by doing our basic treatment guidelines, we know it. We have the ability to alter. We can't change the gene, but we can change the gene expression. And the gene expression is ultimately responsible for how our proteins are being made in our body. One of the many answers is, what are you doing for your liver? We know that the liver has all these functions. The liver is deciding self, non-self. So are you treating your liver nicely? Do you talk to your liver? Do you feed it nicely? Do you not add more toxicity to it? The only thing that people generally know about your liver is if you drink too much alcohol, you may develop cirrhosis. And we know that the liver can be functioning for 50 years, even in somebody who's an alcoholic, before it breaks down, which tells you the importance of this particular organ and how hard it works to help you decide the self, non-self. So I'll stop there for a sec and let you say something, Julie.
Okay. So basically, we need to take care of the liver, but still the question remains, like, why today, why in 2023 are people getting sicker and sicker compared to before the pandemic, let's say, versus, you know, like 20 years ago versus 50 years ago? Like, why do we see autoimmune so much on the rise? Like, what is the main factor Why are people's livers like failing more now than ever, would you say?
I think it's a combination of the lifestyle in which we live. I think it's fair to say that there's no such thing as a simple lifestyle anymore. Simple lifestyle meaning, you know, it was family orientated. Even if we go back into the 1950s, if you look at when you grew up, you know, and I don't want to make this sound, you know, not the way I'm intending it to, but I would suspect many moms were not in the workforce back in the 1950s and the 1960s. In other words, most people ate their meals as a family, certainly their evening meal. Many of the meals, we didn't have fast food restaurants where people would, you know, go out 6 of 7 days a week and you open the fridge and there's nothing in there. Now, you know, so the reality is that in the way life has changed with working moms, with single moms having to take care of their family as opposed to a family unit. And I'm not saying that didn't exist, but the fact that mom carries this extra stress on her system, and women typically have a higher incidence of autoimmunity. And we do associate that with a number of factors, one of them being hormones. We do know that hormones, which we have had done a previous podcast on, do indeed play a role. So obviously one of the components of supporting autoimmunity is, how do you balance your hormones? Well, we've talked about that from seed cycling, either on your own menses or seed cycling according to the moon cycle, depending where you're at and your age and your menstrual life. The more your hormones are balanced, but not only those hormones, what about your thyroid gland? What about your parathyroid gland? What about your adrenal gland, which of course comes into the whole idea of how we manage stress? And what about your heart or your heart rate variability? How does your brain playing into this? And how does your heart responding to the fact that we have these so-called extra stressors in life? So the knee-jerk reaction is to know that autoimmunity has been around since time began. It's not just a 21st century illness. You know, when they look at mummies back 5,000 years ago in the Egyptian tombs, they found incidences that there was cancer. They found incidences that there was indeed autoimmunity, meaning the body was breaking itself down. So it's not a new illness just because of everything that I've just said. Your question was, why is it increased? It's increased because we have literally speeded up, I'll say, evolution in one way. If we go back, you know, two centuries, if you go back to the Romans and say, well, did they have autoimmunity? Yeah, they definitely had autoimmunity. And did they live as long? Supposedly, they didn't. But it's not because, you know, we now have this great medical system. It's simply because they didn't have enough food. They had famine. They didn't have, you know, the tools necessary to deal with. We look at Pompeii in 39 BC or whatever, you know, which basically stopped time. And we saw what was going on in that era. In the Roman lifestyle, it was 39, 50, whatever it was back in those days, per se. So lifestyle has accelerated it. It's made it more prevalent. We have more doctors who are diagnosing this. In the past, you know, we'll say somebody said, oh, you have a joint problem. Oh, you have either degenerative arthritis, which is osteo, or you have inflammatory arthritis, which is rheumatoid. And it's like, oh, well, people just went to live with it. They didn't have doctors to go to, whatever. So it is not new. It is more prevalent. We have more pieces. We have a larger jigsaw puzzle, number of pieces in the jigsaw puzzle ultimately to deal with. And I would say, unfortunately, we are not taking care of ourselves as well as and efficiently as literally in a simple life. When it was a simple life, it didn't mean that they didn't have stress, because I may have said this in a previous podcast, but I always remember saying many, many years ago to an elderly gentleman about, you know, tried to give a knee-jerk reaction saying, oh, the reason you're having this is because of stress. And he looks at me and he says, Sonny, you don't know what stress is. When I grew up in Texas, and we're talking, you know, this is probably in the 1900s. He said, I used to ride on a stagecoach, and it was not uncommon that somebody would try and shoot at me every single day. So how would you like to go to work knowing that you're going to get shot at She says, that's stress. I never knew if I was coming home or not. We have, of course, we have mass shootings now. The most ever in the United States that have been recorded was just reported. We have now surpassed, and we're talking, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 mass shootings in the United States in this year alone, which is just atrocious in general. So we live in a very different lifestyle. And unfortunately, even at this time, we have two major wars going on, one in Ukraine, which has been gone 2 years now, and the unfortunate one in Israel and Palestine. That's just, I mean, the horrific things that have been happening in that part of the world is beyond exception. And then in the United States, we have, of course, the border crossings issues with immigrants and immigration policy. There's so many negative things that people are looking at. If you're looking at the news, you should turn it off, because it's not worth listening to, because all it does is add to your own personal stress. So we need to go back to, how do we simplify our life? How do you deal with autoimmunity? Simplify your life is the easiest thing. Eat your meals at home. Do your basic treatment guidelines. Do your grounding. Do your box breathing. You know, do your castor oil pack. Do your dry skin brushing. Do your nebulizer, et cetera, et cetera. Go back to self-care, we'll call it. And, you know, don't spend as much time with social media. Don't spend as much time with the idea of listening to doom and gloom news, thinking, oh my God, what's the world going to be like in 50 years from now? All these things coming out now, you know, we're going to have, you know, we have one politician in this country saying we're going to get rid of fossil fuel, and another politician in this country saying that we're going to get more fossil fuel. So it's like we have totally ends of the extreme. If we're truly worrying about the future, I would think that we should be looking at less fossil fuel. But now the OPEC nations, of course, yesterday objected to the world making this stand that fossil fuels are contributing to climate change, et cetera. So we, you know, you have to do your own part in individual. Simplify your life will be one of the things we'll talk about more in a minute.
Okay, so let me backtrack on the solo parenting experience, because a couple weeks ago, my husband had to go away for the week, out of town for the week for work, and I had to solo parent. And can I just tell you the amount of stress? So I went from a low, nice and calm, relaxing vacation. I was like, my stress bucket was empty, came right back, hit it hard. And I had to be a mom of three kids, running a business, taking care of all the animals in my house. And it was like the stress level went pew. And so when you say, I hear what you're saying, Dad, like do the breathing, do the castor oil packs, do the nebulize. Can I just tell you, when you're solo parenting, you can't even go there. You can't think, because you're so busy taking care of all these other people. I understand if you're listening to this and your reality is that I don't have time. I don't have the capacity, the energy, the wherewithal to be able to do this, because I have all these things that I have to do to make sure that I'm just living and keeping other people alive, even myself. And so I understand this so wholeheartedly, but the reality is you not taking the time to do some deep breathing at the end of the day before you get into bed and crash into bed, or, you know, put some essential oils behind your ears or listen to some music. This is what's creating the autoimmune conditions. Like most people are, I understand, like we just have too much going on in our lives. So like it would be really interesting study if, you know, the academics actually put together a study of noticing what people's stress levels were before the internet age and after the internet age, because I really feel that for me personally, we have the world at our fingertips in our phone, like literally in the palm of your hand. You have access to everything. You have access to answers. You have Dr. Google available to you. You don't even, like now, you don't even have to go in to see a doctor. You have telehealth. You have access to all these things. And it's just, it's overwhelming. And that overwhelm is what, to me, in my opinion, is creating more chaos and more stress in your body. And so the idea is, yes, there are simple things that you can do to slow down. And I mean, I've made my entire business now is all about movement snacks. And it's all about finding simple ways to help people shift, because I understand that it can be so easy to get so overwhelmed so quickly. Like I literally went from 0 to 100 in less than 24 hours. Like it was like, wow, I felt it in my body. And I was like, okay, when am I going to take a minute? And I had to like, I had to consciously, like when you're in overwhelm, the other thing too, is when you understand what happens, like polyvagal theory or what happens in your front brain isn't really functioning because you're in survival mode. Like you're just in go, go, go. So I get like the hormones going crazy. I get the stress bucket being full. So what I want to offer you, so like I said at the beginning of the podcast, is that I want to offer you a tool that can help you, you know, like from today forward, what can I do to help get me back in balance? Because like my dad was saying, is that autoimmune is really all about imbalance, right? So you're like, yeah, I can do the breathing and I can do all the basic Jima guidelines. I get that. But let's take a step back. First thing I want you to do is you're going to get a pen and paper and you're going to rate. I'm going to give you 10 things. You're going to rate your own. You're going to figure out what your stress bucket, how full is your stress bucket right now? Okay. So I've talked, Dad, have I talked about this before? Does this sound familiar? I can't remember if I talked about it. I'm like, I talk about it a lot, but I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. No, not yet. Okay. So what I do is I have 10 categories and what you're going to do is you're going to rate each category on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's totally stressful in my life. It's consuming my thoughts. It's consuming my life. It is very stressful for me. Okay. And then one is this isn't something I really think about. It's not really affecting my stress bucket in my perception. Okay. Because my dad talks about this all the time. Perception is your reality. And that will in fact impact your health and it'll impact you energetically, biologically, physiologically, psychologically. It's going to impact you. Okay. So perception. So what is your perception of your stress? So grab a pen and paper. Pause this and come back to it. But what I want you to do in I'll list off 10 categories. So Dad, if you want to do this and go along, you can. Number one is the first category is your movement. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate how stressful is your movement. Okay. So 10, I can't move my body. I'm in pain every time I move, blah, blah, blah. Or one, I don't even think about it. I go for a walk every day and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So 1 to 10, rate movement. Number two, diet. How would you rate your diet? How stressful is your diet on a scale of 1 to 10? Number three, finances. How stressful are your finances right now? 10, I think about all the time. I don't know where my next paycheck's going to come from. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, pay my bills, all that stuff. Or I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't think about it.
Number four, work.
Rate your stress on your scale of 1 to 10 of how stressful is your work. Number five is sleep. How do you rate your sleep? So I can talk about, we've talked about sleep hygiene. We've talked about, you know, the habits of, you know, how to sleep better. We all know you heal when you sleep, but how stressful is your sleep? Do you wake up in the middle of the night? Do you stay up all night? I don't know. You tell me. Rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Number six is trauma. So my dad and I talk about trauma a lot. I do talk about trauma pretty much every day. A lot of people are like, how do I rate my trauma? Trauma, again, it's your perception. Okay. So if you are someone that has been doing some trauma work healing and you're aware of your trauma, if you're someone that you don't even know you have trauma, that's okay. But you have to, like, I want you to think about how much does your trauma history impact stress out your body? Okay. Number, what are we on? Seven, lifestyle. My dad just talked about your lifestyle is a big stressor. And that's why people have more autoimmune. How much is your lifestyle? What are you rating it today? As of today. Okay. Number eight, your relationship to your partner, relationships with your partner. And if you don't have a partner, rate your friendships. Okay. So something I talk about a lot is co-regulation and having somebody, like having a support group. My dad's talked about this as well in his podcast with his, especially when he's heading a client into a basic treatment guideline, into the brain protocol. Having a support system is important. So do you have that support system? Are they stressing you out? Are they toxic? Are they not? Are they supportive? Rate on a scale of 1 to 10. Number nine is your energy. On a scale of 1 to 10, how stressful do you find your energy? Are you, you know, like, are you, you have brain fog? Do you have no energy? Are you exhausted all the time? Or do you like energy? You can bounce off the walls and you're good to go, or you're good half through the day and that. I don't know. You rate it. And then last one is family. We got Christmas. We just finished with Thanksgiving in the US, and you got Christmas, and you hear, I hear this all the time. How stressful is your family? So what you're going to do is you're going to add up those numbers. It adds up to 100. So what, as of today, your perception of your stress based on these 10 categories, you now have a number. Okay. So the goal moving forward, or the intention moving forward, is for you to figure out, look at your categories and which of those categories has more stress. And then what you're going to do is you're going to either decide, I want to help manage or empty that specific bucket, or you can go to one that's a little bit lower and have a strategy of, okay, how am I going to manage this bucket? Because the more full this bucket is, the lower your HRV score is. Because now what you can do, so if you're that person who has a wearable app or a wearable tool, then you can, I want you to start tracking your HRV. I want to know what it is. You don't have to track it every day, okay? But just on a week-to-week basis. So what I personally ask my clients, we check in on this stress bucket assessment. We check in once a week for some people, once every 2 weeks for some people. But what we want to do is just evaluate, and you want somebody to hold you accountable to, like, what's up? What's going on? How is your bucket? What is it full? Is it not? Is it shifting? And lo and behold, believe it or not, it does shift. But is it emptying or is it filling up? Okay. So in some other, you know, circles, they call your stress bucket your threat bucket, depending on how, again, it depends on how you want to look at it, but it's a good place for you to know. It's a baseline based on your perception on these 10 different categories. And hopefully this helps you understand where you're going for it. And then if you pair that with your HRV, and if you're somebody that doesn't have a wearable, a really cool app, if you don't know about it, is called Visible. It's a long COVID app, but everybody has a phone these days. All you have to do is open the app, put your finger on your camera, and it'll give you a HRV score. And you just have to take it for 3 days to get your baseline. So once we have a baseline, then that's something that we can start tracking. Because I think if you're somebody struggling with autoimmune disease, you may have already been doing all this stuff, but just really honing in on where is your stress coming from is a great place to start.
As you were talking, it brought up something that's also typical that I said that it's changed in our environment per se. So I want you to think about, and this one, think about your neighbors. Think about the neighborhood in which you live. I think about the neighborhood in which I grew up in. I knew all the neighbors. You know, everybody on the left, the right, across the road, you know, that you knew the neighbor 4 doors down. And if you needed a problem, because I can remember a time when my mom didn't drive her car and my dad wasn't available to do it. How was she going to get to the grocery store? She would have no trouble to walk across the road and say, oh, I have to go to the grocery store. And they say, oh, sure, not a problem. Because their life also wasn't so tied up with running here and running there and doing this and doing that. So it almost felt that there was a family unit within our own neighborhood. And we never had a problem going next door to say, you know, can I borrow a cup of milk or 3 eggs? And if it wasn't across the road because they weren't home, you went 2 doors down. You knew everybody. Now you're friggin' people don't even talk to their neighbor, or it seems like, because we never locked our doors growing up. There was no such thing as locking your car. There was no such thing as locking the door of your house. You know, nobody thought about it because that wasn't a big deal. Now, heck, kids come home from school. You know, we never thought about anything about in kindergarten, walking a kindergartner walking to school. Now, oh my God, you couldn't have a kid walk to school on their own because somebody may come and pick them up. So we have a very different mental attitude in the exact place where we live. And, you know, just applying to your situation that you just described, you went from 0 on vacation to 100 because now you're doing all the things. And how do I do my self-care? In the past, of what happened, we would have gone next door and said, I got to go over here. Can you look after the kids for the next 30 minutes? Oh, sure, I'll do that. Because you did it, you as a reciprocation. We never thought about it. It wasn't about, oh, no, I can't do that for you anymore because, oh, my God, I got to stay at home and I want them to lock my door. So very different environment. We know in COVID, one of the great problems that happened is people get out of their house. Canada seemed worse than the U.S. from what I hear. you never saw anybody. You saw four walls and you didn't want to go out. You couldn't go out. You had ordered food in. You couldn't even, they leave it at the door. You couldn't even see the person. It was just like, oh my God, have we changed our society? So part of the challenges of self-care is, you're right, exactly. Single, so many single moms, they don't have time because they're so responsible. And, you know, unless they have a family member who happens to come to live with them, you know, way at mom or grandma, who can sort of help out. It's like, you don't ask your neighbors to do that. But we did in my day growing up, because I remember that happening on a routine basis all the time for what's going on. So, you know, in addition to finding that's the support person that you mentioned as part of the your partner or friendships or whatever, who can you call upon when really needed, to who will step up? Not that they can drop things at the drop of a hat, but you know, it's reasonable that you know, in a situation, let's say somebody, you know, an accident happened and the person had to go to the hospital and you've got three kids at home. What the hell are you going to do? You can't take the three kids to the hospital. So in the old day, we used to go knock on the door and say, can you come over and babysit? Sure, I'll be there. Take care of yourself, do your thing. It's almost like that's a thing that's not part of our society anymore that's going on. How does it relate to autoimmunity? It relates to autoimmunity because it's another stressor, as you said, in your own personal situation, that you don't have the opportunity to have a sort of an immediate solution. You add stress on an immune system that's already in balance, and of course, it's not going to help the get better. And so therefore, you said your sleep. How is your sleep as far as your stress is concerned? If you don't sleep, you don't heal. That's the bottom line. So you're never going to get your immune system back in balance if your sleep is because you're worrying about your kids or this or that. So why is it increased? It should be obvious by our conversation to anybody listening. That's why in the last 50 yeah. years, it's not new. It just dramatically escalated because of so many things that are different in our society. And who knows what it's going to be like for your kids and my grandkids, you know, when they're 50 years old, and what it's going to be like for their children. Like, what kind of a world are we going to be living in? You know, in general, it's a little scary to think about at some times, but you know, maybe we need to be hit by an asteroid again to reset, to get everything into a new reset. It's just like our computer freezes and we shut it off and reboot it with the idea that maybe, you know, it could be helpful, et cetera, et cetera.
I was just going to say to complement what you're saying, though, is that there's all this research with the blue zones and all this, like, in terms of longevity and all these things. And you hit the chord of what's the key, you know, thing in all the different blue zones is community and leaning in. And it's about having that support system. It really is. Cause I mean, like I talk about, like when a baby comes out of the womb, what does it want? It wants co-regulation. It wants to know, it wants that skin to skin. That's what humans need. Right. And I can tell you, like you, as you've elegantly say at the beginning of every podcast, Dr. Tom from Scottsdale, Arizona, like I haven't lived in the same city with my parents since I was 18 years old. I left home at 18 and I haven't lived in the same home since then. And I haven't had family, and it's something that I've had to adapt. And I have to say, it has created stress. Like, it would be so much nicer to be like, mom, dad, or my uncle, hey, can you come watch the kids? And can you come babysit the kids? Like last night would have been fantastic. My son had a late soccer game and I didn't want to keep the twins up late. And it creates more stress because it's a ripple effect, right? And I don't have the family around. So you're right, it does create a huge stressor. And you know, sometimes, you know, you don't have the community, and that's why you have to go, you know, that's why people find community else, you know, somewhere. And I talked about this in my mentorship group of, you know, like, do any of us live in an area where you can call your neighbor and, you know, like you have similar values and you want, you know, like have similar ideals on how to live life. You don't know what happens. We don't live in glass houses. So people don't have no idea what's happening next door. Right. And that's the reality, is that we all tend to keep this energy and these emotion in, because we're all going to deal with it. This is what society expects of us, is that, but we have access to these phones that help us connect with the world. And all we want is really, all we want is connection. All we want is to feel that we belong and that we're not alone. right? And so I think autoimmune is probably rooted in that just as much, like you're saying. It's like our stress levels are too high. We're not connected in community or family. Like, just that's the realities, is that some of us may not ever have family. So I had to create my own little family. So I have some friends that I lean on and phone them up. Hey, can you take the kids? Sure enough. And I'm like, I'm grateful now my kids are older or getting older that they can babysit. One, the older one can babysit the younger ones, but it's hard. The reality is it's hard. And so it goes to the you know, just lends to the fact that autoimmune is on the rise because we are getting away from connection and we have more stress. And like you said too, just to, I want to add on to just my last piece is the detection tools. It reminded me when you're talking about like, yeah, there's probably more doctors just, you know, diagnosing. More doctors are diagnosing it because we have more tools available, right? At the end of the day, it's just like cancer. It's like you said in our cancer podcast, cancer, we haven't really cured cancer. We just, you know, we're detecting it sooner. And so at the end of the day, it's really about taking ownership of your own body, and it's about taking ownership of what can you do to create the community and create the opportunity for you to empty your stress bucket at the end of the day. That's the way I look at it. So for me, you know, like nebulizing and castor oil, like, so actually, can I just add on the castor oil? So something that I've been practicing, I don't know if you've told this, but I just want to tell I don't think I've told this to my dad yet, but I've been hearing like more, I've been talking about castor oil we've been talking about for a long time. I've been talking about a lot with my clients, and I still get the feedback. It's messy. I won't do it. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, you know what? Here's a simple, take one drop and put it inside your belly button and just start there. One drop, put it inside your belly button. And so I've been doing that. And I have to say, it's been amazing. It's been helpful. And so, you know, like with the whole, you know, umbilical cord, when we talk about trauma with the mother and all that stuff, like putting some oil in your belly button, some castor oil, it can be just not necessarily as effective as a full castor oil pack, don't get me wrong, but it's a step in the right direction. It's not going to be messy, but you're still going to put castor oil in your body. So I just wanted to... If you want to start there with your autoimmune. Put a drop of castor oil, try it, and then come back and write in the show notes and whatever. Let us know how it feels for you. I just want to throw that in there. I don't know. Did I tell you about this? No, I don't think so. Did I?
I have done that for other patients. You are going to get a physiologic effect. You know, one of the things you're not getting as much of, theoretically, is you're not getting, I'll call it, self-care time, because if we're doing nebulizing and a castor oil pack at the same time, we're accomplishing two birds, you know, with what, two birds in the bush or whatever it is, one better than one, that whatever that saying is, you know, in general. But no, I would agree, just the aspect of doing it is creating a mental space, and anything that you can utilize to achieve a mental space does have a positive impact on the brain, will have a positive impact on your heart rate variability. You know, that little tool that you just mentioned is another valuable thing that somebody can do it fairly often. You can do it several times a day. Say, do it in the morning, do it at noon, do it at night. You know, you have a phone, and you're right, virtually everybody now has a cell phone with apps on it, that you can start doing that kind
even
of stuff.
Kids. That's the problem. Kids. Yes. Even yeah. Kids have, my twins are 9 and they're asking for phones. I said, no, that's just a hard no. But anyway.
Yeah. And Europe, it's 18 before cell phones. I don't know if it still is in every country, but it certainly has been for a while. Yeah. Kids cannot have a cell phone until they're 18.
That's good. That's great. But if you can start measuring, just start bringing more awareness to where you're at. And it's like, okay, so I have a client today that we've been texting back and forth. Her HRV is a little bit lower. She's sick. She has a cold. And so I'm like, okay, let's start with one modality and one tool to help you see how it impacts your HRV. So she did music. So we did 174 Hertz. She played that for 10 minutes, and then we retested her HRV and went up 6 points. So I'm like, okay, this is working. So what we want to do is just take a look at HRV is a great way to measure, you know, what modality is helpful for you. So just something to, I just want to throw that out there too. HRV is a great measure. And I don't think enough people understand it or talk about it, or, you know, like when we talk about basic treatment guidelines, for me, I'm going to use HRV as a measure to help me understand, okay, is this really helping me empty my bucket? Because at the end of the day, if my bucket is full, I will be sick and I'm not going to be able to fight off infections or whatever, that sort of thing. So yeah, it's not going to be able to help me heal. So the higher HRV is great.
So just a couple of, you know, going a little bit, one of the other pieces that I think people can be thinking about and looking at that are definitely a component of this is, how is your actual metabolic systems working? How is your physiology working? We think of the microbiome in our gastrointestinal tract, but the microbiome is, of course, in every organ system. It's not just the GI tract. So we know that with autoimmunity, you know, we can start to support our own microbiome with doing supportive foods, both prebiotics and probiotic foods, or an additional prebiotic nutritional supplement that is taken on a regular basis to try and help keep supporting, you know, a balancing of your immune system itself. It has been shown that people who have lower levels of vitamin D will have more of a tendency from an immune perspective. So, you know, keeping your vitamin D levels in the US, it's 55 to 65. In Canada, it's, because your units are different, it's probably more in the area of 150 to 175, somewhere in that range would be a healthy immune response for people. Doing, you know, those types of, belabor the whole idea of diet, you know, the importance of, once again, minerals, the importance of different colors. You know, we know that the research now 6 years old is saying that, you know, 10 different colors of fruits and vegetables will significantly reduce risk of heart disease, of cancer, of autoimmune illness itself. But if you have one autoimmune illness, then obviously these things are equally important, not only from a prevention, but also from a treatment perspective for what's going on. So there are the physical aspects that we need to be looking at. And there are obviously nutritional remedies that will support the symptom of whichever autoimmune illness that one may be dealing with. But the bigger picture is, how do we get back to finding the balance with our immune system, rebalancing? Once again, we're not trying to downregulate it, because it's not an overstimulation of the immune system. It's a dysregulation. However, the approach is medically is to suppress it, stop the reactions from happening. And if you listen to our last 35 podcasts, you'll know that that's not our approach. Biological medicine isn't about stopping reactions. It's about supporting the necessary reaction within the body so that the body has an opportunity to recalibrate and to find the new balance that's necessary for what's happening. So from that perspective, I would say that, you know, that's how we have to be thinking about, you need to balance your immune system. And you do that by metabolic systems. You do that by basic treatment guidelines. You do it by taking time for yourself somewhere in the day, every day, to spend a few minutes. And whether it's, you know, 5 minutes of meditation or 5 minutes of box breathing, anything that puts you into a more parasympathetic state, which is ideally when we're eating our meals and when we're sleeping, because that, once again, that's the only time we have the ability for the body to heal, is during those parasympathetic states and parasympathetic times for what's going on. The individual autoimmunity, you know, Dr. Google will tell you all kinds of things for Crohn's or colitis or Hashimoto's or psoriatic arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, or, you know, on and on and on the number goes. They are very prevalent, as I said, for a woman, but also for a man. Balancing hormones, I think, is an important piece. We know our own natural anti-inflammatory, one of them is called cortisol. Cortisol gets released in stress. We can imbalance that, which means on our DHEA, which is another hormone. So there's many players in this game. And, you know, what do you take home with this? What do you take home for what it is I need to do? Don't assume that an autoimmune disease, there's nothing you can do. There's lots you can do. There's lots to support it. Is it curable? Before the whole advent of my approach to medicine biologically, I was taught, and I taught this myself when I was a professor, that autoimmunity is something you manage and support, and to try and enhance quality of life. It's not something that's curable, But I will now tell you that that's not true. Since 2005, when the whole concept of epigenetics became popular, now it's not a word that's totally strange to people. It's almost, it's 20, what's that, 23 years ago. It's sort of new. It's one of the great things that ultimately has happened in medicine, is that we realize that a single gene has the potential of us, you know, going down multiple different pathways based on our epigenetics of how we're supporting it. And for all intents and purposes, epigenetics is doing basic treatment guidelines and eating a good diet and moving your body and allowing your body to detox appropriately. I think, you know, one of the biggest lifestyle pieces that's missing, which you hinted on for your own personal life, is not having the time or not sensing that you have the time to do what you need, what we know we need to do. People know, oh yeah, I know I should eat better. I know I should move my body. I know I should get to bed by 10:30 at the latest. I know I should be getting 7.5 to 8.5 hours, but my lifestyle doesn't allow it. My kids wake up, my pet wakes up. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to get the kid to soccer or ballet or hockey or, you know, baseball or whatever, you know, we're involved in, because we're very involved in, which is another thing. I think with my own parents, they didn't take us to baseball practice. They said, here's the bat, here's the glove, go and find 5 kids in the neighborhood, go to the park and start hitting the ball around. You know, we played hockey. There was a rink on the corner. We didn't have to go to an indoor arena. We went, it was outside in those days in Canada and Ottawa. It's like, it froze. It was frozen for 3 months, for God's sake. We could skate outside. Now the Rideau Canal doesn't even freeze for that long anymore. So winter lube, which was a big deal. And my day growing up was, you know, doesn't happen anymore because of climate change. And so, you know, it's another factor that has resulted in modifications of everyday lifestyle for what's going on. So, you know, we were outside, you know, you were outside and they didn't worry about it until dinner time, supper time. It's time and come home, look at your watch, go home for not, oh my God, they're not coming home. They've been kidnapped, you know, all that kind of stuff. Very different lifestyle, very different mental attitude and people nowadays. And unfortunately, the children growing up, certainly in the United States anyway, and, you know, instead of doing an earthquake drill or a fire drill, which is what I had when I was in school, now what they have in the United States is they have violence drills. What if you're being attacked by a gunman? What do you do? You hide under the desk, you bar the doors. I said, oh my God, not something that would ever have been thought of, you know, years ago, unfortunately. So very different place, very concrete reasons why the number of autoimmunity. So what can you do about it? Do everything you can to simplify your life. Make sure that you spend a little bit of your day doing something that's simple. Part of the BTGs is having fun. Do it, make that, whatever that is to you, where you forget the worries of the world and all your responsibilities, but you're just doing something that you don't have to think about something and it's sort of mindless. And whether that's watching a cartoon, whether, you know, watch some of the old cartoons, the Three Stooges, the Marx Brothers, you know, those types of things, which are sort of slapstick, Buster Keaton, you know, which is like they you can't help but smile when you watch these things. And that's a good, great parasympathetic, get some release of oxytocin, calm your system down, calm your autoimmunity down, and then do lots of the things that we've talked about previously and today on this particular podcast.
Well, I have a couple things to add to that. So it's funny because you keep bringing up like kids in the neighborhood, and it's not funny, but it is kind of funny that you mentioned it, because something that my son does is that he's constantly on the lookout for pedophile vans, essentially. He's looking for vans without windows. He's like, mommy, there's another one. So it's like he's always on alert for like vans that could potentially take him. And I'm like, I wasn't like that when I was a kid. Like, I grew up and outside Ottawa in the country, and we would come home when the street lights would come on. So that's the life that I grew up in. My kids are definitely not growing up in that world. So that's definitely impacting their stress level. So I was like, oh yeah, I feel that. Like, I feel that big time. And that's something that we talk about. Like, my kids want to walk around the block with the dog, and I live on a busy street where it's very easy for kids to be taken. And, you know, like, I don't live in Toronto, but you know, the violence is up higher in Toronto. And like you talked about, like my kids last week, they just did a, they did an emergency drill, and it was for that if there was some kind of violence that came in. So these are the realities that our children are growing up with. So we have to do, you know, we have to do better. We have to, like, that's at the end of the day, if we want to feel better, if we want to heal, if we want to get better, we have to do better and take the time to, as my dad said, putting these parasympathetic snacks. So we're recording this beginning of December, and something that I want to put out to the world is that I've been actually sharing my 12 days of movement snacks. It's my gift to the world. I've been posting 12 different simple things that you can do to put you in a parasympathetic state. They're all, the videos are on YouTube, and basically I share something very simple. Like today was laughter yoga. So what you did, I talked about it last time, is you put a pencil in your mouth and we did some ha ha ho 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 hee 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 hoo hoo hoo, and we did it together. And so you laugh and it engages that vagus nerve. And then I dance at the end, and you can dance with me, and it's fun. And it's just something that you can do. So, I mean, they're usually about 10, most of them are 10 minutes long. So if you want to go check those out, they're free, have fun with it. And just, I wanted to put that out there for you as the listener, as my gift to you. Like, they're going to constantly be there. So watch them as often as you need. For whatever reason, the facial one, that one went viral on Instagram. I don't know why, but I was like, everybody want, it feels really good to massage your face. So I show you some quick tips that you can do that, like if you're in the shower, sitting at a stoplight, super, super simple things that you can do. But yeah, so I just wanted to add that in. Dad, is there anything else that you wanted to add in? I think you summarized that pretty well, I have to say. But
you know, this is the type of a podcast that we could talk for hours and hours about. And but the goal of what we have talked about is to at least hopefully change people's attitude that there is only one approach, that's to calm down or to suppress immune function. And you know, that may be a part of the treatment, at least that, you know, depending on which condition and how long. However, it doesn't mean that you can't interfere with that whole biological process that's going on, and have a high quality of life no matter what the specific diagnosis is that you're dealing with. So hopefully some of the information that we've shared today will hit home. And I'll keep saying it, how can you simplify your life? How can you make your life just, you know, go back to, think about your grandparents or your great grandparents, what their life would have been. And, you know, they didn't have YouTube. They didn't have the internet. You know, what did they do in the evening? They played cards or they played a game. What did kids do? Kids didn't have fancy toys. They played tag. They played kick the can. They threw a baseball or a football or a basketball on the corner lot. And they weren't worried about the fact that some male or somebody may come and, you know, snatch them type thing. Very, and as your own son, you know, as Caleb is reminding you that obviously that is
the other one
in the genre. Oh, it's the other one.
The other son.
Oh, okay, the other son is talking about it.
The imaginative one.
The imaginative one, indeed. So the aspect of, you know, what's going on for people is, it's not inevitable. It's not something that's incurable. It's something that does require day-to-day management, day-to-day support, and we can indeed rebalance that autoimmune reaction by looking at every organ system that we've already talked about in other podcasts. But it is a real thing. It is increasing, and unfortunately, it's going to continue to increase. We didn't talk about it. There has been a lot of discussion about COVID, the vaccines. You know, is that upsetting things? I don't feel a need to get into it with this particular podcast. There's enough literature out there. You can read it for yourself if, you know, and don't read it with the idea that, oh, this is a blame issue. This is where society is at the moment. And, you know, this is where society seems to be going. And you don't have to follow along everything that's so-called being told. We know that return to your own, look in the mirror. What can I do for myself? How can I support what it is that I do? How can I give myself 1 minute a day if that's all you got? If all you can do is put a drop of casserole on a belly button, then do it. If you can just do dry skin brushing for 5 seconds, do it. If you can walk for 5 minutes, do it. but don't say you can't do it and then end up sitting on the couch. There are these simple things that you could, if we put them all together, do five deep breaths. You know, you can do them all in 1 minute, and we have 24 hours times 60 minutes in a day. Surely we can take 1 minute to at least tell the brain that we have the opportunity to do some of these things for ourselves.
That's fantastic. Thank you for doing that. But you just inspired me, and I'm like, we should almost give people the opportunity. If you're listening to this, let's give people a parasympathetic snack. Go ahead and take a deep breath in through the nose and out. Good job. One more. If you want to add a hold, go ahead, but otherwise let it out. And one more just for you. And out. So there you go. We should just finish all our podcasts this way, Dad. So that way we give people the opportunity. You didn't have it. You were listening to this, and there you go. You just gave yourself a parasympathetic snack. Well done, my friends. That's how it's done. Simple, simple. And now go reach for the casserole and put it in your belly button. Fantastic. There you go. So thank you for sharing all that wisdom, Dad, as always. It's always appreciative. And we love sharing these nuggets with all of you. And like you said, we talk about, there's a common theme between all of our podcasts. And that's the thing I've realized, is that sometimes when you're healing, you need to hear things over and over and over again for you to hear it. And even if you listen to this podcast a couple times, you might hear different things each time, because the nervous system may not be ready to hear what it needs yet. But it's coming. It's coming. If you're listening to this, you're on a healing journey, and we applaud your efforts, and we appreciate you being here. And so for our next episode, we're going to be talking about insulin resistance, because that's another thing that's on the rise as well. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more. So again, thank you for being here, for supporting us, and we look forward to chatting with you next time.
All right, everybody. We'll talk again.